Welcome to our podcast episode dedicated to the legendary Louis Gossett Jr., an icon of stage and screen whose illustrious career has spanned over six decades. From his groundbreaking roles in films like An Officer and a Gentleman to his unforgettable portrayal of Fiddler in Roots, Louis left an indelible mark on cinema and television. Join us as we delve into the life, career, and impact of this esteemed actor, exploring his early beginnings, his rise to fame, and his enduring legacy in Hollywood. So sit back, relax, and let's celebrate the remarkable journey of Louis Gossett Jr. Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast, Retro Life for You, Movies of the 1980s. Sitting in with me this week is none other than the 80s flicks flashback master himself, Mr. Tim. Tim?
Yes.
How goes it?
I'm all good. I just have one thing to say. Chappie! So.
Get it out there. Get it out there.
I just had to let it out.
Watched it today. It's in both of our systems. I'm glad you got it out there. Probably sounded better coming from you than it did me with this this stupid allergies I got going on. I'd sound more like the guy from the restaurant they were visiting. Today, we are taking it upon ourselves to do I don't want to call it a tribute. More than I just want to say we're remembering Lou Gossett Jr. Mm-hmm. Lou Gossett Jr. recently just passed away. I don't remember for the life of me if they reported what he passed away from. Did they?
I don't remember if they. I don't think they did. I want to say it was natural causes, but I don't think it was. They give a specific.
I know years ago he had a bout with some form of maybe it was prostate cancer or something.
Okay.
And that could was years earlier. So I don't know if that is something that revisited him or if it was something different. But I don't recall reading that part. I just remember that he had passed away. And it was a weird situation for me seeing it. I was set to go to Pensacola Pensacon in February, which I went to. And he was supposed to be there. So I was going to get to meet him.
Right.
And I was excited about that because I've seen a lot of his movies. He's great in most everything I've seen him in. Love Iron Eagle. You know, love Firewalker. Love Digstown, The Principal. What's that one with Keith Coogan that we both had on our shows?
Toy Soldiers.
Toy Soldiers, where he's the headmaster. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yes. One of my favorites.
He was in Roots. Big thing for him there. I mean, the man just did it all. And, I was really looking forward to meeting him, and it just never came through, unfortunately. He had to cancel and couldn't be there, and I'm wondering now if it had to do with his illness in any way.
Yeah, or just state of his health. He could have been getting weak or just couldn't make the trip with his health the way it was.
It could very well be. Lou Gossett Jr., let's see, as I mentioned earlier, born May 27th, 1936 in Brooklyn, New York City, New York. Passed away from us on March 29th of 2024 in Santa Monica, California. I guess reasons undisclosed, it's saying here. So,
yeah.
Birth name, Louis Cameron Gossett Jr. We'll just call him Lou, though.
Sure.
Did you know? I'm going to throw a did you know at pretty early here. I was kind of impressed by this when I found it. He was drafted by the New York Knicks in 1958. He also played baseball at some point. I don't know if it was minor leagues or what league it was in, but he pitched against Sandy Koufax.
Oh, wow. Okay. I could see that. Especially in his younger career, he looked like he was very fit. Had athletic, especially, I know you said you watched Officer and Gentleman today. So his little karate scene with Richard Gere, you could tell he was in shape.
Mayonnaise.
Yep.
Telling Tim earlier, I'd never seen Officer and Gentleman, and people kept telling me when I was mentioning I was doing the remembering Lou Gossett Jr., they kept saying mayonnaise. Like, what?
Now you understand that reference.
You want a sandwich? Or what is it? I'm not your chef. Right. I mean, but yeah, I get the reference now, obviously. That was a good movie. He won an award for that, I believe.
Yep. Best Supporting Actor, Academy Award.
Yeah.
Well-deserved.
I would say so. That part was played very well. He played a very good drill instructor.
Yes.
I mean, he made me want to quit. I was just watching it. Honestly. But that's
kind of his bread and butter roles, you know, as that, you know, kind of the mentor, you know, hard-nosed mentor, from Officer and Gentleman, Iron Eagle. Toy soldiers. I mean, that's kind of
authority figure type.
Yeah, exactly. Even a little bit, not so much in the principal, but still had that a little, oh. You know, rough, but knew that he cared. Like he wasn't just hard for the sake of being hard, but hard on them because he cared about them and wanted to see them succeed. So,
yeah. I mean, I would say he definitely still showed it in the principal some, but just in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was shown more toward his coworkers than it was, you know, the kids mm-hmm. in the school, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They seem to work his nerves fairly well. 1971, he was originally cast as Gale Sayers in the television movie Brian's Song.
Mm-hmm.
Not too hard to believe. He's got the physique for pretty much all sports, it looks like.
Right.
But days before shooting began, he tore his Achilles tendon while working out for the film.
Gotta hate it.
Not meant for him, so they hired Billy Dee Williams as a replacement. Gossett, depressed over missing his shot, was promised by producer David Wolper the first great role that came along. And about 6 years later, he called him to play Fiddler in Roots.
Yeah.
I would say it worked out for him pretty well.
Worked out well, yeah.
Yeah.
Two and very iconic roles that you know, both very significant.
And that was and if I'm not mistaken, that's an Emmy Award winning role for him also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, pretty much did it all. When I was younger, though, I had to say, I wasn't that young, so I'm gonna look stupid saying this. I used to get his songs. I saw the Brian song thing in front of me again. I used to get his movies. And some of Sam Jackson's movies backwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, not because I didn't get the two of people confused. I knew who they were when I seen them.
Right.
But the movies that they starred in, I was getting backwards. People would be like, "Hey, you seen Firewalker?" I was like, "Yeah, it's Chuck Norris and Sam Jackson, right?" They're like, No.
Yeah.
No, it's Chuck Norris and... Gossett. Oh,
right.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, those are kind of like two different decades because really Sam Jackson didn't really become known until like the 90s.
That's why I was like, this is stupid. I mean, you know what? And he's got some stuff in he's got some stuff in the 80s though.
Yeah, but he wasn't a household name until maybe the end of the 80s. Going into the 90s.
Yeah, let's take a look here at his work in the 80s that he did, because I don't think it was full of a lot of movies. I think he had more TV appearances than he did movies in the 1980s. So,
are we talking about Sam Jackson or are we talking about Lou Gossett? Just making sure
you won't let me live that one down, will you?
I didn't know. I want to make sure that I'm on the same page with you. That's all. I didn't want to make sure.
I should have kept that one to myself. So we got It Rained All Night the Day I Left. Now, looks like it's supposed to be a movie. I haven't heard of it.
Nope.
Palmerstown, USA TV series. Don't Look Back, the story of Leroy Satchel Page, TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
Benny's Place TV movie. Then we got in 82, An Officer and a Gentleman.
Right.
Played Sergeant Emil Foley. The Powers of Matthew Starr TV series, 82-83, 22 episodes in that.
Yeah.
So, whole thing. In 83, we jump into Jaws 3D.
Which we just covered on my podcast, not knowing that we were going to release it the day that he passed. But yeah,
oh.
Not the best follow-up to an Academy Award-winning role, but he was still good in it.
He played a good role in it, though, right? He played his part pretty well.
Right, right.
Also in 83, two episodes, it says, of a TV miniseries called Sadat, played Anwar al-Sadat. Not sure what that was either. Finders Keepers in 1984. And 84, also a TV movie called The Guardian. And then we jump to 85 for the movie you just got done watching this weekend, Enemy Mine.
Yeah, I watched that one today. It was, Lou Gossett Jr. is really good in it. I want to say that I'd seen it as a kid, but it wasn't very memorable. Like, it wasn't one that I really, obviously I didn't watch a lot. And I can understand now rewatching it because it has some good moments, but it feels like it was a much longer story that they tried to condense. So it kind of jumps, like time jumps a little bit more than I think it should. Yeah. So you don't really feel like, I don't understand, the bond isn't really there. And because the characters, like, they still fight, it felt uneven. And then, but anyway, it's Wolfgang Peterson directed it, who's, you know, became a very well-known director, of course, in the 90s and the early 2000s. But, I would watch it for Lou Gossett's performance, but it's not one that I'm going to have on a heavy rotation to repeat watching every so often.
Yeah, I get you. I feel like I've seen it as a kid as well. I was confirming with you. the premise of the movie, and you said that was what it was. So yeah. I feel like I've seen it, but nothing... I can remember seeing them sit inside of a cave talking with each other. They're being civil with each other and having a conversation.
And honestly, that's most of the first half of the movie. It's just them having conversations. And
that's probably why it wasn't very memorable to me. Because when it comes to sci-fi from that time, I'm used to seeing things like, you know, Star Trek and Star Wars and action, Last Starfighter, things like that, you know? But this didn't stick out for me. His next three things in the 80s, though, might say that, it's two things, actually. I saw a third thing was a music video, but we had Iron Eagle in 86.
Right.
Also in 86, we had Firewalker with Chuck Norris, which I just mentioned earlier, and it is, I'll confirm right here and now, Lou Gossett Jr. In 1986, he's in the beginning of the King Cobra music video for Never Say Die, Iron Eagle. That was from the movie. So the soundtrack from that movie wasn't that bad, actually.
Yeah, there was some good music in that movie.
It was pretty good. 87, The Gathering of Old Men, the TV movie. In 87, we have The Principal, along with James Belushi. Great movie.
Yep. Watched that last week.
87, again, we got the Father Clement story, a TV movie. In 88, Sam found out, a triple play. 88, again. I mean, this man was working in 88. Hey, 87 and 88, he was busy. Iron Eagle 2. Two of the, four Iron Eagles he did?
I think it's four, yeah.
In 88, also, Goodbye, Miss 4th of July, TV movie. In 88, Roots, The Gift, a TV movie. 88, two episodes of Straight Up, the TV series. And then we go to 89, which was Gideon Oliver TV series, The Punisher, which was a good movie. Played the reporter, I believe, in Punisher. Dolph Lundgren. That's the Dolph Lundgren version of Punisher, right?
Yeah.
That one was actually my favorite version of The Punisher for the longest time. Until they did the Netflix version.
Yeah. The Netflix version is far superior.
Yeah. And then we got, that's it. The last plane from Cormaya. That was the last thing in the 80s that we had from him. I would say he had a decent decade of work out of that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Some great
TV movies. And movies. Yeah. A good mix of both. Yeah.
Definitely stayed working for sure. And then I'm not going to give out his entire 90s list. I'll throw a couple of things out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But Cover Up was a movie he was in.
Dolph Lundgren.
So, Dolph Lundgren again. Toy Soldiers.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites.
Great movie. Aces, Iron Eagle 3.
Mm-hmm.
Digstown, which I really loved. With him and James Woods.
James Woods, yep.
Did you know he was in Blue Chips? When I think of Blue Chips, I think of Nick Nolte, Shaquille O'Neal, yeah. Anthony Hardaway.
Yeah. That's well, it says he was about. Uncredited, so it must have been a very, like a cameo or a very small role that he played.
Yeah, it's got to be a quick that. Scene.
Just yeah.
A quick scene or something. But I just learned that earlier today when I was looking mm-hmm. at some of his work.
Yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
About the other decades and everything. Then we got in 95, Iron Eagle, the last one he did, I believe, called Iron Eagle on the Attack.
Mm-hmm.
And that one supposedly brings back the character from the first one. What is the kid's name he helped? Doug Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Brings the character back for that one. He's having some trouble and everything, and he's there to help him, I guess. The kid teaches kids with issues. Who are in trouble, teaches them how to fly a plane and get to help get them into the Air Force Academy and stuff. Since he had trouble.
Gotcha.
And really and truly, that's the 90s for me when it comes to him.
Mm-hmm. He did is it El Diablo he did with it was more of a comedy, like a Western comedy he did with Goose from Top Gun. Anthony
Edwards.
Edwards, there you go.
Well, let's see. You said El Diablo?
Yeah, I think that was on there. In the early 90s, before Toy Soldiers. Yeah, El Diablo. It was a TV movie. I think it was a cable movie, honestly.
Okay, I see it now.
Yeah.
It does say TV movie.
Yeah, it was on HBO. It was an HBO movie, so that's why I remembered it.
I've never seen it.
Have oh yeah, Anthony Edwards, John Glover, Joe Pantoliano was in the cast.
Joey Pants was in the movie. I mean,
he was in the movie.
Yeah, come on.
MC
one of the Fratellis.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I may have to try to pull that one up and rewatch that one because I remember seeing it and I remember being funny, but I don't remember much about it besides that. So.
I've never seen it. It sounds like something I would like to take a look at, so I'll definitely be on the lookout for it. But I haven't ever seen anything much with him as far as humor and mm-hmm. finding him really funny.
Right.
Like
right.
in Firewalker, they tried to be funny.
Yeah, that was I rewatched that one last year, I think, and yeah. It was much better in my memory than it was to relive because I liked it as a kid, but watching it again, it just.
They're two guys that put out a lot of movies that we love, but neither one of them were really built for comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chuck Norris, especially. Chuck Norris is about as funny. He's about as funny as Sylvester Stallone is. Stallone's not funny. Stallone, all right, you can say little one-liners they may toss out there are funny.
Right. Right.
All right, but let's not forget Stallone. Let's not forget Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget the other one. What was the other one? The other comedy?
He was the gangster.
Yeah.
Oscar?
Oscar.
Yeah, that was the name of it, right?
Very good. I think it was a comedy, wasn't it? It wasn't very
good. Yeah, it was. I don't think I ever saw it. I don't think I've ever seen that one or Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. I don't think I saw either one of them.
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot actually has a funny story behind it where Schwarzenegger tricked him into taking the movie.
Yeah. Now, I will say there is one comedy. Oh, wait a minute. Another comedy that was bad that he was in was Rhinestone with Dolly Parton. That was real early in his career, which I think I've seen that one. But the only comedy I would say that Sylvester Stallone was successful in was Tango and Cash. Him and Kurt Russell together.
It wasn't really a comedy, though. It was just little one-liners and quips.
But it's still humor. It leaned into the comedy more than his regular action movies. I'll put it that way.
It's like, you know, they're about to get all buddy-buddy and high-five, and he stops, and he goes, hey, did you see my sister? Did you sleep with my sister? You know, I honestly was so drunk, I don't remember.
Right, right.
It's funny you mentioned Rhinestone. if you listen to the old episodes we have here, anybody who does not know this, go back and listen to you know, a lot of the older episodes in the library here. You'll see where I'm getting at. Rhinestone is something that I refer to with a lot of people because I thought that was the worst movie that Stallone probably ever did. Right. Rhinestone after he got noticed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's not like he wasn't noticed beforehand where he got more successful roles and things. He's already been noticed as an actor, and he chose to do Rhinestone.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he was kind of forced into it by contractual obligations or something, I don't know. But he took this movie and he did it. So anytime somebody has a bad movie, Schwarzenegger, for example, I thought Junior was going to be, it was a terrible movie.
I'm not a fan of Junior.
I was like, that's Arnold's Rhinestone. If somebody else has a bad movie, that's their Rhinestone right there. Okay. I always say that. So two things I'm well known for, referring to people's bad movies, worst movies as their Rhinestone, and always trying to work the name The Last Starfighter into every episode that I can.
Congratulations. Did both today.
I've worked Last Starfighter in twice, so three times now. Think about it. I have that special knack, you know. Not that they listen to my podcast, but after being on here, but if they do continue to listen, they're like, hey, a little nod back to the great one. All right. Yeah. Do you have an absolute, I don't know if you said this already or not, do you have an absolute favorite movie of Lou Gossett? Iron Eagle?
It's not. Only because probably for the nostalgia reasons, Toy Soldiers might be my favorite because that's probably the one that I've watched the most that he's been in. Now, I think he acts better in Officer and a Gentleman. And Iron Eagle is fun. Like, I remember enjoying Iron Eagle as a kid, even recognizing that it was a cheap ripoff of Top Gun. I mean, you knew what it was going into it.
But you know what, though? You know what I've always said about that? Honestly, you might question me on this. I always thought it was a better version of Top Gun.
No,
it's not really a version of Top Gun.
But it's not a copycat. Like, I'm not telling the same story, but right. They're using a lot. It was trying to make money off of the success of Top Gun.
It's about jet planes, flying jet planes.
Yeah, basically. So, but it was also a teenage. Yeah,
but I like the story better.
The teenage market. Yeah.
I love Top Gun, don't get me wrong, but I like the Iron Eagle story better than the Top Gun story. Was it filmed better than Top Gun? No.
No.
Bigger stars in Top Gun? No.
Right.
Better soundtrack? No.
Right.
Did I like it better? Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Everybody's got their opinion.
That's true. I mean, mine matters.
Hey, it's your show. I won't fight you too bad, so...
Until I come back on yours, you make me pay for it.
No.
But you remember, Chris, when you said Iron Eagle was better than Top Gun? Let me tell you something right now. This is my show, buddy.
It's like, what are all the terrible movies I have planned coming up that I'll make sure Chris is on so he can talk about all these bad movies? I'm just kidding.
It better not be Rhinestone.
Look, if I could find a way to watch it, I would have it on the podcast, but I haven't been able to find anywhere streaming, so I'll have to... dig a little deeper into the dark web to find it. I probably.
Oh, don't look too deep for Rhinestone, man. Don't put yourself through that.
Some things you just have to suffer through just to say you did it. Look,
I told Travis one day we might sit down and actually review that movie just so we can say we did.
Right. Exactly.
In case there's any doubters out there as to why we say it's the worst. You know? Although I did see this picture from it where Dolly is there in some sleepwear, we'll call it a 90 or a negligee or something.
Right.
Some comedian was looking at it and goes, if Dolly looked like that, I wonder what Jolene looked like.
Right. Lord. Yeah.
But anyway.
Right. Well, right.
Please continue, sir.
I don't know what I was saying now. We got me
we were talking absolute favorite movies. You got down to Toy Soldiers.
I mean, I appreciate Iron Eagle for what it is. Like I said, it was geared towards teenager, which I was a teenager when I saw it. So, of course, I made me enjoy it. It had good music. I mean, it was, you know, it was a decent movie. It doesn't hold up as well as Top Gun. Not that Top Gun holds up like, you know, super well, but probably more so. But yeah, but Toy Soldiers was one that I absolutely loved. And of course, it's, you know, for the same reasons, it's a cheap copy of Die Hard. It's a, you know, just with teenagers and younger, but yeah, but he doesn't, I mean, he has a decent role in that one. I don't know. This is tough.
Do you think we like, do you think we like Toy Soldiers a lot because it's got Keith Coogan in it and we talked to him?
That's part of it. Yeah.
Cause I can't help but feel more attached to certain movies some of these people have done.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because I've talked to them.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. But yeah, but it's hard to, I don't think I have a necessarily favorite. I would say those are probably those would be my top three would be, Officer and Gentleman, Iron Eagle and Toy Soldiers would be my top three. If I'm going to round out a top five, I would probably put in, I'd probably put in Firewalker just because once again, the nostalgia for it and the principal is good too. So those would probably be my,
See, you and I pretty much have most of the same choices when it comes to the movies and kind of a similar, like, interesting things.
Yeah.
Maybe Firewalker not the same order.
At the bottom. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I could put them in order besides saying that Firewalker is probably at the bottom of the list and the principal is probably number four. The top three would probably vary based on the day and how long it had been since I watched the movie.
If I had a top three for him, then Iron Eagle is going to be first for me.
Gotcha.
Followed by Toy Soldiers because I liked the cast and the story behind it. I liked the fact that the teenagers step up because I was at that time, I was a senior in high school. It makes thoughts run through your head like, would me and my friends have been that brave in a situation like that? Mm-hmm. And you wonder to yourself what you would do in that time. So it fills your head with these thoughts. And if a movie can win me over like that and make me think about it that much, it's done something really good. So I think that would be a number two for me, with Digstown being number three and the principal being four and then Firewalker rounding out at five.
Yeah. I would definitely have to rewatch Digstown. I know I've seen it, but I haven't seen it in a long time.
It is
to know.
Such a fun movie.
Yeah. And that's a comedy too, right?
It's a comedy in a sense. It's got some funny stuff in it because James Woods is kind of quick-witted. His character is very quick-witted. Oliver Platt is in it. So there's some humor from him. Anybody who's ever seen Lake Placid knows the kind of humor he has. And this is the... that's just the kind of humor he's good at. And they are basically hustling this town that Randall Tex Cobb's character is from. He's in the movie just a little bit in the beginning. They were going to go back to that town when they got out, and they were going to hustle the guy who took pretty much the town away from the people.
Okay.
More or less. They put all their land up on this big fight. Charles Makeham Diggs. That's why they call it Diggstown. And he did something with the guy where he filled his nasal spray up with something. And the guy kept taking the nasal spray, but he kept fighting and he took a lot of brain damage in the fight.
Okay.
So they know about all this and they're there to hustle him out of everything, basically. Just when you think they have failed completely. Wow. I don't want to give anything away for anybody who has it. I know people should have seen it by now, and I should not be so apologetic and say I won't ruin it for you. I know you said you probably said you have to go back and rewatch it. I can tell you right now, if you want to watch it this week, if you have access to Pluto, which is free, it's on Pluto TV. So you can see it free from there. And brought to you this week by our sponsor of Pluto. We wish.
And
you can see it there. And it's a really fun movie to watch if you get a chance.
Yep. Definitely check it out this week.
Can you think of something by him that you just didn't like?
Hmm.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a movie. I mean, it can be one of his TV appearances, TV movies. Lord knows he's done plenty of TV shows you could have found him on.
Yeah. Like, I saw his name pop up on a lot of TV shows, like from the 70s that I know I watched, but I can't remember him necessarily on them. Like, he was on Good Times. He was on The Jeffersons. He was on $6 Million Man. I do vaguely remember him being on Little House on the Prairie.
I see. I remember seeing that one. That was my show back then growing up.
Right, exactly. That was one that we watched, you know, as a family. So I remember that one pretty well. I can't really say I've seen many of his TV movies that I can remember. Is there something he wasn't good in? I don't think there's anything that I can really think. Now, I think I watched Iron Eagle 2. I haven't watched it recently. I don't think I saw any of the Iron Eagle movies after that. I'm kind of scrolling through his filmography here, but yeah, there's nothing that jumps out at me like, oh my gosh, that was so terrible and he was bad in it. I don't think there's anything that I can say that with him. I will say that, like, we watched, getting more current, you know, he was in the 2019 Watchmen series, which I thought he was really good in that. I just rewatched that for Laramie's podcast a month or so ago.
Yeah,
but we saw the new Color Purple musical, and he has a very small role in that movie. And me and my wife, when we were watching it, we were like, man, he was like, you know, he'd say like, man, he looked bad. Like, well, not that he, you know, he was really showing his age in that movie. And right. Like I think my wife even leaned there. It's like, is he, I didn't realize he was still alive. Like, she didn't know he was still living. I was like, yeah, he's still around, but you could tell he was showing his age. So I felt like I hate to put it that way because one of his last screen appearances, but he almost seemed too old for the movie. Like, it was almost a struggle for him to be in it. And for that reason, I wish they would have picked someone else that maybe would have had a little bit more.
It's energy. kind of like watching one of the greats that you grew up on. There was, yeah. You know, like take a sports figure or something. Mm-hmm. I give you an excellent analogy. If you're, I don't know if you are, but if you're a wrestling fan and you come from the area where Tim comes from, and you grew up watching some Ric Flair.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Ric Flair in his prime was absolutely great. The problem with Ric Flair was he reached well into his 60s and just didn't know when to quit. And here recently, very recently, in the last couple of months, he is back on television. Making a final run with one of his biggest adversaries back in the day called Sting. And
right.
He's just there as a mouthpiece for the most part, right? Because he can still talk.
Right, right.
But the man gets in the ring, and he tries to throw a couple of chops, and boy, it looks so pitiful. I just felt bad for him looking at it. I was like, please don't let one hit him. He might just fall apart. I wanted to use a musician if I could, but man, some of these musicians I come up on young are still playing hard out there, man.
Yeah.
And I
can't say,
you got Kiss in their 70s. You got the Rolling Stones in their 70s. You got, they're still rocking.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, how?
Well, they can stay in shape, like stay in vocal shape. They can do it.
I guess. I mean, but see, Lou said Iron Eagle 4 for me. I love Iron Eagle 1. I loved Iron Eagle 2. Iron Eagle 2 has nothing to do with Doug Masters. Iron Eagle 3 has nothing to do with Doug Masters. They're just Chappie Sinclair stuff and different things he has going on. 2 was another assignment with the military. 3, he was on his own with some former pilots. That's why it was called Aces. They're all Aces as a pilot. And the 4th one just did not really do anything for me. And it's not like he's an absolute terrible actor, but he didn't do anything to really bring me in and hook me either. If I had to pick something that I've seen, that would probably be it.
Gotcha. And it's sad too, because like sometimes in those kind of franchises where he's probably contractually obligated to be in it, but you know there's not much for his character. He's just got to be in it just for the sake of continuity with the other movies. And so, unfortunately, you know, you're only as good as what you can. There are some actors that can elevate what they're given, and I believe he's one of those actors. but sometimes what you're given just can't be elevated.
Right. Right. Did you know that Lou Gossett wrote an autobiography?
Yes, I did know that. I think I referenced it in our Jaws 3D episode.
That's where I saw the thing earlier about being drafted by the Knicks and pitching against Sandy Koufax. But yeah, I learned about his book earlier. That sounds kind of cool. That might be something that I might look for. Some of these people put the books out on them. If you get a chance, I mean, I've actually read some pretty good books that people have put up. And if you grew up watching them and you liked their stuff, Diane Franklin has some good books about her stuff. I got one recently. It's mostly about Better Off Dead.
Yeah, that's the one I have.
Still reading it. Is that the one you got as well?
Yeah, I have that one, yeah.
Still reading that one. Of course, I'm always so pressed for time. I don't get a chance to read everything.
Yeah.
But I want to. The lady who was on here that did stunt work, she had a good book I bought from her, from her childhood, and how she got into the stunt work, and I got into that. That was really good.
Yeah.
So
I'm a big fan of biographies and autobiographies. I like reading, you know, real life about people that I've grown up with or, you know, successful.
Right. Cast in his Oscar-winning role, An Officer and a Gentleman in 82, after Jack Nicholson turned down the role.
Which is crazy, because I can't even imagine him being that role the same way. Yeah. No, I mean, I could see him like being, you know, a little over the top with his, you know, being the drill sergeant like, but
when he come out there and go, mayonnaise, it's me.
Yeah.
Here's Johnny.
It just would have been a different delivery. I don't think it would have translated as well.
Yeah.
As how Gossett Jr. did.
It says none of the other actors who the producers wanted proved available at the time. Screenwriter Douglas Day Stewart did a research on Navy base in Pensacola, Florida, which I have seen, and found out the top drill instructors they had there were African-American. Upon realizing this, Gossett was cast in what now can be arguably his best remembered role.
Yep.
That's saying a lot. I mean, with some of the roles that he's done, I would have thought Roots was been the one he remembered the most by, honestly. But he got awards for both shows. So, I mean,
yeah.
But those are probably the two biggest he's known for.
Yeah, but I think because Roots was such a huge ensemble miniseries.
Yeah.
Whereas Officer and Gentleman, he's like one of the, you know, he's one of the main leads. So he has a lot more screen time and more in the story, I think.
He had a foundation that he was a part of called Eracism, which is devoted to eradicating racism. Very well done thing he did there. I mean, great premise behind it. I wish him all the luck. This world's full of people, terrible people.
Right.
He was named the King of Brooklyn at the Welcome Back to Brooklyn Festival in 1990. That's where he was born and where he was from. Trying to think, I don't remember anything about a Welcome Back to Brooklyn Festival. Now, I remember something happened around that time. I thought it was that time where they had like Kiss playing at the bridge or under the bridge. That may be something. I don't remember
either one of those.
That might have been like a New Year's Eve special or something.
Yeah.
Friends with John Amos, Esther Rolle, and Cicely Tyson. He attended Woodstock.
I could see that.
How many people can say they attended Woodstock? You know, a lot of people were there. Yeah, right. He's there. He said he wanted to be in the now, and there were a whole bunch of us there in the now. Anywhere, anything exciting was happening, we were there. Now, there's something oh my gosh, I got to get to this and read this off to you. I saw this earlier when I was reading through here. I thought, if I get to anything, I've got to get to this one here. So let me find it back again. He was at another party with members of the Mamas and Papas singing group on the night of August 9th, 1969, when he and the others were invited to a party at the Los Angeles home of Sharon Tate. You know where this is going. Gossett went home to shower and change clothes and was about to leave when he saw a news broadcast on television that Tate had been murdered by Charles Manson and his associates.
It's crazy.
Just avoided being a part of that massacre. We'd had no Iron Eagle.
No toy soldiers.
No toy soldiers, man. No.
No officer and gentleman.
Man. Yep. There's something else.
I don't know. I kind of wonder if he was there. He might have took a few of them down before he got taken down, though.
We'll never know, thankfully.
Yeah, exactly.
They're part of that. Along with Stacy Keach, he was one of two actors considered for the role of Stargate new commanding officer, General Hank Landry, on Stargate SG-1.
Okay.
1997. The role instead went to Beau Bridges. However, Gossett was cast as a, not sure if this is Jaffa, leader named Garrick. I never watched the Stargate TV series.
I didn't either.
The movie.
I love the movie. Yes. I love the movie, but I never watched the show.
I never got in the show. He was considered for the role of Lieutenant Ted Traxler in The Terminator. Do you remember who the lieutenant was in Terminator? That wasn't a prominent role by any means, was it?
No, I don't think so.
Just a bit part in the middle.
At the beginning when they're sending Reese back to 1984?
I think it's right at the beginning where they've got him captured there and they've got her there as well.
Maybe
and
so.
He's trying to tell them that they're all going to die if they don't.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
I think he's one of those people.
Gotcha.
First male to be shown giving birth on screen is Jeroba.
An enemy mine.
Yes. Enemy mine.
Mm-hmm.
Man. What else do we
have? That's when that movie got really weird.
Yeah, I imagine so. And then there's been plenty of things after that have followed up on that same type of thing. The Orville, they had a race of people where only the men got pregnant.
I started watching that show. I didn't finish it, but it was pretty funny.
If you get to finish this show, it's pretty good. Now I mentioned to you earlier about him having an illness earlier in life. February 8th of 2010, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. So he either beat that or it was just a slow growing thing that it eventually caught up to him, and I don't know which, but
he could have beat it and then it just came back or cancer showed up somewhere else. It's very possible.
Yeah. And last thing I'll throw out there, conceived and co-wrote the well-known song Handsome Johnny with Richie Havens. As the opening act for the original Woodstock, Havens performed Handsome Johnny as the eighth song in that historic first set. According to Havens, Gossett had gotten it up to the Dunkirk War. I brought it up to date. Man of many talents. Man of many great movies.
Absolutely.
So let's see, what else can we talk about Mr. Lou Gossett Jr.? We're almost at the end of the show, man. We're pretty much right there at the end.
Yeah, I think we've covered a good amount of what, I mean, you know, talking about the stuff that we've liked him in. I mean,
I hate to leave the people hanging, you know, if we got something really great out there, we can just toss at them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's not like we're trying to rush out of here or anything, but.
No.
So.
Well, yeah, I would say like any of these that we've mentioned that you haven't seen, because I mean, he was a prolific actor. Was he an A-list star that was in several blockbusters? No, but his movies that he was in were good. So if there are ones that maybe you missed because you are only familiar with the blockbusters, then you need to check out a movie like Enemy Mine or Jaws 3D or Firewalker that, you know, once again, may not be the best of his work, but he's still really good in it. But of course, like Toy Soldiers, I would highly recommend The Principal. I would recommend Iron Eagle, of course, highly recommend.
Did you like Gene Hackman as an actor?
I love Gene Hackman as an actor.
Would you feel it's fair to say Gene Hackman took every acting opportunity he could get his hands on, good or bad?
In certain times of his career, I would say that's true. Maybe not all the way through his career. But yeah, he played a lot of different types of roles.
And what I'm leading up to is it possible you think Lou Gossett Jr. is kind of like Gene Hackman in a sense to where?
Oh yeah,
most people say that's Morgan Freeman. They'll say Morgan Freeman will take every.
That's pretty accurate too. Yeah,
every and any job out there. But Lou Gossett Jr. stayed busy with a lot of work, and I don't know if it's just that he would take everything and anything just to be out there and be. I don't want to say relevant. I don't think relevant's the word, because you could put him in anything and he'd be a star. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't seem like he was highly sought after for a lot of movies, for a lot of leading roles in Hollywood either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, let's look at some of the movies in the, back in the day that might have required somebody that was, they are looking for a strong black male to play the role. Mm-hmm. That would describe his character, strong and authoritative.
You bring up a good point and bring up Morgan Freeman, because I think like towards the end of the 80s, Morgan Freeman was really coming on the scene. And you have to think, especially back then, there weren't a lot of roles for a strong black authoritative figure. So I would almost say Morgan Freeman kind of might have taken some of those roles from Lou Gossett Jr. in the bigger movies. You know, not that they were in any kind of competition, but you know, they're like, oh, we've seen Lou Gossett, and here's this new guy, Morgan Freeman. We like, he's got, his voice is very distinctive. You know, he can play this character as well. So, and then you know, same with like Sam Jackson, maybe a little younger. But yeah, I don't think they had as many, I don't think he had as many opportunities as other actors in the late 80s, early 90s. So maybe some of the stuff he took was because it was work and he could keep working, even if it wasn't big budget, even if it was straight to video or TV movies, because there just weren't that many role opportunities for him.
Do you remember when Denzel came out? About what year he debuted?
His big, you know, his breakthrough was 89 for Glory.
So I wonder, since we're looking about that time frame, would there not have been some of the earlier Denzel movies that Lou Gossett could have played well?
Well, once again, yeah, age. Like, he was a lot younger, so it depends on the age of the character.
It was. I mean, he didn't look, I mean, let's say, for example, Ricochet. Could have played a cop.
Yeah, but
could have been a young cop.
Yeah, I think Lou Gossett might have been too old for that.
I don't know if he showed the age that well, though, at that point. I mean, I don't remember which exact. It was early 90s for Ricochet, I believe.
Yeah, I think that was like 91 or 92,
So if we're talking about him just playing the role of a cop, not necessarily a young cop or a rookie cop or something.
Right.
Seems like he might have been able to pull that one off or something.
Maybe, yeah.
But, I mean, we can play that game all day long because, like...
Right.
All right, well, take Keith... Once again, let's bring Keith Coogan up for just a minute.
Mm-hmm,
he probably told you the same thing he told me when it comes to actors all going for the same roles. You get some, you lose some. And he wanted to be in the movie Stand By Me.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Wheaton got it instead. And Will Wheaton had wanted to be in Adventure the Babysitting.
Right.
So, I mean, it works out for the best. Usually people know what they're looking for and what they're talking about. So they usually pick the right people. So we can speculate and say, could he have done a good job or a better job all day long? We want to. Don't mean he would have or could have, though.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give the man his props, though, and say he could have done a lot more, probably, as far as a leading man kind of stuff, I think. I don't think he, like I said, he got enough, if any, leading man roles.
Yeah.
That I'm aware
of. Yeah, I will say it was interesting that he did get top billing for Enemy Mine, which I thought was interesting, even though he's not even in, spoiler alert, he doesn't make it to the end of the movie. So Dennis Quaid is probably the more the lead of the movie, but Lou Gossett Jr. got top billing, which I think is pretty cool.
Do you think he got top billing? Has he been around longer, more known?
Could be, or just how he had it in his contract, probably.
Could have been because wasn't Officer and Gentleman out before Enemy Mine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple of years there. So,
yep.
Yeah, we discussed earlier he went from that movie to the other movie.
To Jaws 3D is not the greatest transition. But other than that, you know, that's happened to a lot of actors that have won. They do something very serious and they want to take something a little bit more lighthearted.
And so it just hit me. An epiphany just hit me, I guess.
There it is.
Enemy Mine. And Lou Gossett Jr. and who? Dennis Quaid,
yep. And Jaws 3D.
And, okay, I thought they was it not Dennis Quaid and Jaws 3D?
Yep, it was.
Okay, then, how about that?
Yeah. I don't think I brought that up. Yeah, I don't think I brought that up on our Jaws 3D episode, but I did think about that today when watching Enemy Mine. I was like, oh, they did, star in something else together later. I think it was like 2 years difference. Let me see, go back to that. Because Yeah, it's like 2 years difference because Jaws 3D was in 83 and Enemy Mine, I think, was in 85.
Sounds about right.
Nope. Hold on. Where'd it go? Oh, yeah. Enemy Mine was 85. Yep. So, yeah. So 2 years later.
I thought it sounded right. All right. Well, Tim, if you will, go out there as we're wrapping things up and put it out there for the people what you got and what you do.
So if you haven't heard, as you should always, about the 80s Flick Flashback podcast, it's me and another guest co-host who loves 80s movies as much as I do, like Chris, who's been on the show a couple of times, where we'll rewatch a 80s movie and we'll talk about the behind the scenes, our first time watch memories, and iconic scenes, and learn some behind the scenes facts and trivia along the way. We just did, like I said, Jaws 3D is the last one that we've done. This coming out in the next week or two.
Next week or two, so it's not out yet.
What's that?
You said Jaws 3D is coming out in the next.
No, week no, no. Or two? I'm asking you, when is this coming out?
Oh, I'm sorry. This will be. Let's see. Let me look at my calendar dates.
Okay.
And I can tell you the exact date. This will come out on the 18th of April.
This okay.
Upcoming,
yeah.
This upcoming Thursday on the 11th, I will have War Games come out.
Oh yeah, I did War Games. Yeah. So. So yeah. So. So yeah. So we've done Jaws 3D, and then what would have just released right before this episode was Footloose, which I just recorded a couple of days ago. So that's a fun one. So I got some other good stuff coming up this year that I'm looking forward to. And of course you can check out our bonus. I have a little bonus series called The Forgotten 80s Flicks, which we did The Verdict with Paul Newman. Just started that back up last year. We did some movies like Best of Times with Kurt Russell and Robin Williams, Turk 182 with Timothy Hutton, Robert Urich. So just some of those 80s movies that maybe you are not as well known, but ones that we remember fondly from our youth. So, and I know I'm going to have Chris on here one of these days. We're going to do Six Pack, which I know he's already covered on his podcast, but I'm going to have him come and join me on mine to talk about that one.
I can do that. That's an excellent movie. I like that.
One of my faves.
No doubt. Make sure you follow Mr. Tim here on his Instagram and everything so you can see when he has his stuff come out. Very fun show to listen to. Very informative as well. I think you guys will really like it. We all have our little similarities and we all have our differences. So exactly. His show is really not a lot like this one. Mine's not a lot like his. We kind of cross over in some areas, I think, though. But I think
in some.
But for us here, you know, Instagram and Facebook, that's where you're going to find us at, to follow us out there in the social medias. If you're going to listen to us, we're out there on Spotify and iTunes and most places that you will find your favorite podcast at. If you want to listen on the web browser, we are www.retrolife4u.com, and you can listen straight from there. If you do go to one of the places mentioned beforehand at iTunes or Spotify, make sure you follow us there. And if you got time, leave us a 5-star at Spotify or maybe a quick review on iTunes. Does help with, I'd say, getting noticed by the algorithms. And puts us out there as a, you know, something that people may be interested in. So it might help us grow a little bit.
Always a good thing.
I would definitely appreciate it. So, yeah. Tim, thanks for coming on with us tonight.
My pleasure as always.
Lou Gossett, great person to talk about. A lot of great movies to watch. If all you guys out there get a chance to check out some of the things we mentioned, definitely go out and do it. You won't be disappointed. The man does not let you down. Tim, till next time, you're on, man. Thanks for coming on again, and we'll see everybody later. Have a great night.